So, yeah, Lord, we thank you that you have purposes for each one of us today. And we just want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just unlock those things in us which you're desiring to today. We just stand against any work of the enemy. And we just declare that Jesus has the victory. So we just want to the fullness of all you have for us to be released today, Lord. Amen. Yeah, I think it's so great that you're doing prayer walking. It's really exciting and key to seeing what God wants to do. If you want to go with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 5. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in the arms. Then you will see and be radiant, and your heart will thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you. The wealth of the nations will come to you. Yeah, sounds good, doesn't it? And I found out this morning that you've had this preached on very recently, a few weeks ago, and that Pete had these verses. Was it when you first started? So obviously, God is wanting to say something today, which is exciting. But in the last couple of months, God's been speaking to me and reminding me of some things that he said to me like about 10 years ago. And when I was in my second year of university, it was a really awesome time and God was doing lots of great things and people becoming Christians. And we had this Alpha course on campus, which had about 60 people on it. It was just like amazing. And in the room where the Alpha course used to happen every week, there was like a room opposite, and I used to go in the room opposite and like pray during this Alpha course. And one day, because we kind of, as Christians on campus, we were getting like quite passionate about understanding about how God feels things about the land and giving yourself to see his kingdom come in the land, and something kind of significant about that. And one day I was praying and I felt like God very clearly speak to me. And it was one of those times where, you know, I never doubted, is this just my imagination or is it God? I just knew it was God speaking to me. And it's like something that I always remember very, very clearly. And I felt like God say to me, will you give your life to see revival come in this place? And I knew that's like a really serious question to be asked. It's not the kind of thing that you can be like, oh, yes, Lord, I'll do that in this kind of nice, happy moment without thinking it through. I just felt like, wow, it's like bigger than I can imagine what God is asking me to do, to like give your life to see revival come in this place. I need to think about it. And kind of over the next, I think it was about 5 months, I would like be thinking about it. Will I give my life to see revival come in this place? You know, like asking myself this kind of question, and it kind of hesitant to say yes until I got to a place where I'm like, yes, I really am saying yes, God, I really am going to do this. This is a serious commitment to you, saying yes. And so about 5 months later, I felt like, right, today's the day I'm going to say yes to God. So I at the time I was living in a house in Egham, and so I walked onto campus. And I like stood, there was like, there's this kind of small little field looking over Founders, which is like the main building if you haven't ever seen Royal Holloway. And so I stood there and I kind of looked over at this building and I said, yes, God, I'll give my life to see revival come in this place. And I was like, it was kind of funny because I was expecting this like amazing heavenly moment. And then that was just it, you know. Where suddenly something would change and I'd feel different. Woo! But nothing happened. That was it. And kind of following off the back of that, I suppose I began to discover what that meant, you know, about, because I didn't really know what it could mean, but you know, things about planting the journey were part of that. And you know, God has been stirring this up in me again about this passion which I have had inside of me about seeing revival, you know, not just where I live, but in this nation and in the nations of the world. And in the last few months, it's like I've just felt a fresh passion that this is actually on the Father's heart. And I feel like the Holy Spirit's like kind of been showing me where the enemy has tried to kind of steal this dream, hope, passion from the church in the UK. And, you know, for you, I don't know what the word revival means to you. I mean, it means all kinds of different things to different people. I mean, some people might be like, well, what is revival? You know, for some of us, we immediately get excited, like, yeah, revival, God bring revival. We know different stories from history. And it's like a hope and a dream that we have to see revival come in the places where we are. You know, for some of us, maybe actually revival is something that we feel a bit cynical about. You know, maybe we once were all up for it and we've got disappointed along the way where we haven't seen the things that we've longed to see. You know, some of us may be completely indifferent to it. You know, some of us might think, well, you know, the word revival's not in the Bible. You know, who knows the word revival's not in the Bible? It's a funny thing, isn't it? Do you know the word Trinity isn't in the Bible either? You know, it's a similar kind of thing that, you know, Trinity is a concept we see in the Bible, you know, of a God who is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It doesn't actually say the word Trinity in the Bible. It doesn't say God is the Trinity. It says all kinds of other things that lead us to believe that the Trinity is true. But Trinity is just a word that we as humans have created to kind of, which encompasses the concept of, wow, God, he's three in one. You know, I can't quite get my human brain around it, but I know it's true. And it's the same with revival. Revival is a word which encompasses things that we read in scripture. And it's things that are there true. And it's something that we see in this passage that we're looking at today. It's something that encompasses it. And, you know, my memory of being a teenager in the 90s was, you know, in the early 90s, there was what was called the Toronto Blessing. Does anyone remember it? Yeah, where God was like really kind of refreshing the church. Lots of people were laughing and it was a really kind of exciting time. Maybe for some people it was a bit of a weird time who kind of wondered what was going on, or maybe it's kind of like, why does it never happen to me? I remember thinking that as a teenager, because everybody else would have crazy things happen to them and nothing would happen to me. And I'd just be like, oh, okay, well, there we are. You know, so that was kind of a time of that. And then kind of, you know, this is just my memory of it. You know, there were lots of things going on and it felt like in the kind of charismatic Pentecostal type churches that there was an expectation that revival was going to come at any point. Does anyone remember that? Is that, or is it just my memory? Some others. Okay. And do you remember, I just was remembering this morning, there was a prophecy which I think was given to Gerald Coates before Princess Diana died. Did you hear about it here? That was saying all this stuff about the flowers, and then before the flowers were picked up, revival would come to the country. Does anyone remember that? A few people. Okay. Well, it didn't quite happen the way that we thought it was, did it? And did that make you feel disappointed, some people here? Yeah? And I really think that that at that point, I actually want to say that when we look back in history, I actually really believe this, that we will look at the 90s and we will see it was a significant time for our nation, because there are things that came out of that time. You know, for example, one thing, Soul Survivor came out in that time. I really believe that Soul Survivor, when we look back in history, will have revolutionized our nation. I really believe it, because there are so many young people who go to Soul Survivor who don't come from churches who believe in those kind of things or would be exposed to it, whose lives are turned around and they're set up for the rest of their lives. And I really believe that a huge move of God has come through Soul Survivor and continues to. So I actually think that there is more fruit coming from that time than we realize. Does anyone agree? Good. So actually, I think that God has been doing something in that time. But because we have such a limited kind of view our mindset maybe of what's going on, and things haven't quite happened yet as we wanted them to, and we've prayed prayers and they haven't got answered yet, and all that kind of thing. Disappointment comes in, cynicism comes in, unbelief comes in, and the enemy can use it to undermine who we are as sons and daughters of God. You know, to chip away at the authority that we have as sons and daughters. And I really believe that the enemy has sneaked his way in, tried to undermine our authority, and actually, in some cases, is causing us to hold back from the things that God has spoken to us, God has maybe told us to go for. But because we've been disappointed and cynicism and unbelief has got in, we've kind of held back in them. And I really believe that the God is kind of stirring us up as a church in this country to rise up. I'm not saying that we're not doing lots of good things already, because we are, but I know there's more. There's something about us rediscovering afresh who we are as sons and daughters of God and the authority that we have living inside of us. And if we will get a revelation from the Holy Spirit about that, about who God is, about who we are, it will revolutionize our nation. Is anyone up for that? Great. I just feel like I want to get really excited about this. Anyway, you know, oh, I believe it so much. And, you know, I'm frustrated with my own self of what I'm seeing in my own life, because I know there's more. And I'm like, oh, come on, God, let's see the more. But we need to discover who we are. And just go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I love Ephesians, and I particularly love this passage. And if we start at verse 15, in chapter 1. And, you know, this is one of the first prayers in this book that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. And this is an amazing prayer. And I encourage you to pray this over yourself regularly. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Let's just stop there for a moment. Spirit, we need that spirit of wisdom and revelation so we will truly know who God is. You know, every day discovering more of who he is. Because when we realize who he is, you know, there's no stopping us. We need to know who our God is. We need to seek him out. We need to pursue him. We need to be hungry for him, consumed by him, to know who this God is. Okay, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's just think about this for a moment. You know, every single person who says yes to Jesus, yes to being a son or a daughter of the King of Kings, you know, it tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us as a seal, as our guarantee to say that we're his. And that spirit that is living inside of us, you know, Paul's praying that we would realize that this is the same spirit which raised Jesus from the dead. You know, not only did this overcome the death of Jesus as a one human being, but actually all that that encompasses and what Jesus' death accomplished and what the resurrection accomplished, defeated death, defeated sin, defeated the consequences of sin and evil coming into our world. That same spirit which has overcome all of those things is living inside of us. You know, in verse 21, you know, all, you know, this raised all above all rule, authority, power, dominion, every name. You know, sometimes names have been spoken over us that have defined us. The Holy Spirit has power over those names. And and everything comes under Jesus's feet. And, you know, I love how it ends here, because the church is the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and he's chosen to put his fullness into the church. You know, in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of Jesus is in us, the church. Woo! Let's get excited. The church, I can say with no qualms, the church is the answer for this nation, because Jesus has put the fullness of him in the church. Jesus has put the fullness of him in church. It's last week, this is maybe it's a bit of a naughty thing for me to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Last week I was preaching in Slough on, not exactly the same, but similar kind of topic. And I said, who here believes that the church is the answer for the nation? And it was all silent. And someone went, no, Jesus is. And but the reason I said that is because, no, the church is, because the fullness of Jesus is in the church. Yeah, come on. We need to realize that we are part of this incredible thing, which is the church. It's absolutely incredible. The church is the agent that brings the kingdom of God. You know, let's think, what is revival? You know, Jesus told us to pray that his kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we need to remind ourselves of that. His kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. That is just awesome. Wow. You know, we can't determine our expectations by the darkness that we see around us. You know, in the Isaiah passages, it's talking about how we shine in the darkness. We don't look at the darkness around us. We look at what Jesus is saying, that we pray that his kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is the expectation, nothing else. Heaven is the expectation. And I think it's in Matthew 11, verse 12, and it talks about how the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. And in some verses, it talks about how violent men take it by force. And, you know, I think when it's talking about that word violence, it's talking about the level of passion. You know, when you think that when someone is behaving in a violent manner, they are consumed by passion. And we often see that kind of released in a very destructive, terrible way. But actually, there is a redeemed version of that violent passion. There is a redeemed version. And where we have that all-consuming passion that wants to bring the kingdom of God, that says, no, I am a son and daughter of God. This thing that's going on over here, there is injustice here, and I am going to be consumed by passion to see God's kingdom come in this situation. You know, this person over here has been destroyed. They've been abused. I am determined to see the kingdom of God come like that. So we don't treat the person in a violent manner. We treat them lovingly and gently. But, you know, but there's something within us that's consumed with passion. We're like, no, this is not the way it's meant to be. We need to get more violent and passionate in that way of being like, no, I have authority. I can say no to these things. I can see things turned around. We need that all-consuming passion for those things. Does anyone want to get passionate? So let's go back to our original passage, Isaiah 60. You know, this, you know, we see in the book of Isaiah so often that, you know, obviously Isaiah was a prophet and he's prophesying things to the people of God at that point. But there's also, you know, it gets fulfilled again in the future, like messianic prophecies. And this prophecy is prophesying about the church. So this isn't something to be fulfilled in the future. This is actually for us here and now, because we are the church. And so let's just look at this again. It says, arise, arise. Just think about that word, arise. You know, one of my favourite verses at the moment, which if you've been around me at any point, you hear me constantly saying it. Andy and Susie must know what it is, but they don't. Andy wonders. Okay, is Romans chapter 8, verse 19, where it talks about how creation is longing. You know, sometimes it says groaning, I think, you know, for the sons of God, which is means sons and daughters, to rise up. Creation itself is longing. Marlo, is longing for you, the sons and daughters of God, to rise up. To rise up. We need to arise. We need to arise. Let's not be stooped over. Let's rise up. We do have the answer for Marlo. We might not have every expertise or skill or all these things which we know are needed for this town to thrive, but we have God. Marlo needs God. Shine. Shine. You know, I love, just imagine, you might want to imagine Britain as a nation, or you might want to imagine Marlo, and imagining that it's covered in darkness, but all over is the church, shining in the darkness, dispelling the darkness. Arise and shine. You know, when I was praying for today and kind of asking God what it is specifically that he was wanting to say, I was like having a little worship time on my piano, which I really love doing. And it was like I was just singing kind of what I felt like God was just giving me over Marlo, which was just arise, 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 shine, shine, shine. That was the thing that was just coming to me over and over again. Arise, shine, you know, it was just this constant thing like welling up from within. That is just what the Holy Spirit is saying. Shine, shine in this place. For your light has come already. You have the light of Jesus on you. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You don't need to strive for it. It's there. It's on you already. You know, for behold, there is great darkness. We know that there's terrible things going on in the world. So many things that we don't even know about that are going on in this town. Terrible, terrible things. Great darkness. But God's light can shine. I heard this really great story on Thursday, which is a real example of this, is that this lady called Leslie Ann, and she does stuff all around the world, and she'd just been in Pakistan, and she was at a, you know, where obviously there's terrible things going on there. It's been in the news this last week, terrible stuff. And just, you know, in the midst of the great darkness, she was having a secret meeting with leaders, church leaders, or I don't know exactly how it works there at this point, but anyway, Christian leaders in that country. And they were having this meeting, they're crying out to God, and she was just anointing them all with oil, and the glory of the Lord came into the room, and the earth shook. You know, just like in Acts, when we read in Acts, you know, where they're praying and asking God in the midst of persecution to give them boldness and courage to preach his word, and the place where they were meeting shook. Actually, in this, the ground, the glory of God was coming in the room, shook, and it actually shook the whole place. There was no damage caused in the place where they were, but the ground shook. And that was an example very clearly of, in place of great, great darkness where terrible evil is happening, there they are, the church crying out, and the glory of God is coming. God is actually shaking the land. That's awesome, isn't it? Because God does things like that as a sign of what he's doing in the spirit. And so we want to see the glory come. So verse 2, but behold, darkness will cover the earth and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and his glory will appear upon you. And yeah, I'll just leave it there. But I just, if we could just maybe respond to what God is wanting to say, because I always think it's really good to respond. Yeah, let's just maybe close our eyes, or just whatever helps you to focus on God. And, you know, for some of us, maybe Holy Spirit's just been challenging some kind of disappointments that we've got in us that have really kind of held us back, you know. Yeah, I forgot to say it before, but I felt to say this morning when I was praying that, you know, like about kind of, I don't know, 8 years ago or so, I was really believing God to heal someone who was terminally ill from cancer. And I had no doubt in my mind that this person was going to get healed. And then that person actually died, and it was absolutely devastating. And for a number of years, I'd been really passionate about seeing kind of breakthrough and healing, and kind of, I still believe that God can heal, but I wasn't so passionate about it. And God began to challenge that in me and kind of deal with that disappointment. And encourage me to push into it again. And, you know, it could be anything, but maybe for us here, we've really believed God for something and it hasn't happened and it's put disappointment in us. And although we still believe that God can do that very thing, but there's something in us which has kind of held back and not gone after it in the way that maybe God is asking us to. And if that's you know, you may just want to, before God, just kind of speak to him about that. Just allow his Holy Spirit just to come and just heal those wounds, to put courage in us to go after those things again. Because it's going to take a lot of courage maybe to go for something again. But the Holy Spirit can put courage into us. So we may just want to be speaking to God about that. You know, maybe for some of us there is kind of lies about who we are, about who God is, that have crept in. And we just, as we've been here today, the Holy Spirit's just been revealing those lies to us. And there's something about us repenting before God of those lies, renouncing those lies, and just kind of taking hold of the truth that God has for us. You know, it could be all kinds of things that God is doing in your heart that maybe you want to receive prayer for and speak to a friend about those things as well. But also, I just really want us to have a time as well of just speaking to God about what he's saying to us about arising and shining, speaking to God about Marlow, speaking to God about the world, that we are the church, the fullness of Jesus is in us, and we need to arise and shine. And I just want to ask you to do something really physical. If you're saying, I want to ask you to really say to God, if you're wanting to, yes, I'm going to rise and shine. You know, you may already feel like, yes, I already am arising and shining, but yeah, I'm just going to say afresh to God, yes, I'm going to rise and shine. And if you're going to do that, I just want to ask you to come here and just to either kneel down, stand up, lay face down, whatever, as we just come in humility to before God and just say to him, yes, come on. I know what you died for. I know what you're longing to see in this place. And I'm going to give myself to it. I'm going to allow myself to be consumed by passion for you. I'm going to give you my fears of what that will cost. I'm going to be consumed by you, and I'm going to rise and shine because your glory has already risen upon me. So if you want to do that, there's space here. Please do come now. Yeah, and I'm just going to play a song on the iPod, which is about God being the God of the city. And just as we're playing it, let's just really respond ourselves. What does it mean for us to respond to God in this? Let's be crying out to God for Marlow or whatever place God has given you to take and arise and shine in. Maybe it's your workplace, your family, your street. Maybe it's another country of the world. Wherever it is, begin to cry out to God for it.
Yeah, Lord Jesus, thank you for Marlow. Thank you for every street, every house, every home. Lord, we want to put a card through the door of every street, every house, every home. And that's not just a piece of cardboard, a piece of paper, Lord. It's because we want to take your light, and we want to just leave an indication, I suppose, that there is some light, there is some hope that we as a church want to bring to Marlow, to the people, to the houses, to the homes. And so, Lord, I just pray over Marlow. We pray for this town. We pray that you will help us bring your light, the fullness of Christ, the light of the glory of the glory of God, which is shown in the face of Jesus Christ. We want to bring that to Marlow, Lord. We pray for the veils in front of people's faces to be torn away, and that people's eyes will be opened, and Lord, that you will bring your glory over Marlow. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, help us rise up and shine, Lord, just to do what you're asking us to do. Amen.